We welcome you to lesson number 12 of the Road of Light. And I thank God that we're in a road of light, and it's a narrow way, and it's narrow all the way up to the narrow gate. And then even after you're saved and come through the narrow gate, you're still walking in a road of light. Just like we had a lot of things to pull us off the road of light, before we get to the narrow gate, there's still side roads that we've got drawn off to the left or the top of the page in our literature, showing you that these same things are still pressing up on us. The devil, the world, the flesh, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, the pleasures of this life, tradition, trials, false doctrine, temptations, and pride, and many more are still working in our lives. And we're walking a narrow road, and it's a road of light. And we found that last lesson that we, Colossians 2:6 said, if we have received Christ, so walk ye in him. We found that we receive Christ by grace, by faith, by the word. And we also, we've dealt with that. And then we see it's not only that way, but it's by the Spirit, and it's also by love. And so we're going to deal with those others today. But he said, as we've received him, so walk we in him. So since we've received him of grace, we saw we had access to grace, and we need to walk in that grace. We see also it's by faith, and therefore we need to build upon a foundation of faith that's laid in our soul by faith. And we dealt with that last lesson. But then we see these are so closely connected together, you can't really separate them. I mean, by grace through faith, they're connected. But we find also, as we deal, we see as Romans 10:17. And let's look at that. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And since they're so closely connected, you can't really have faith without the word of God. So since we're saved by the word, or receive Christ by the word, we need to walk in the word. And it's connected. Now, as we see and analyze and tie these things together with the last lesson, we saw that we needed to add seven things to the foundation of faith, and that was by faith. In other words, the just shall live by faith. But I ask you, where does living faith come from? Where does living faith come from? Well, there's only one source, and that source is the Word of God. And I want to say this, the Word of God is bait for faith. You know, Jesus said three times when he was tempted out in the wilderness, three times he said to the devil, it is written, it is written, it is written. Thereby he overcame because he knew the Word of God. Well, he was the Word. He knew the Word. But folks, you and I need to know the Word. Why? Because we're in a battle, and we need to overcome the temptations that's before us. And therefore, we're going to have to walk in the Word. We've received Christ by the Word. We need to walk in the Word if we're going to ever overcome. Therefore, we've got to know the Word of God. Now then, I want to ask you a question. How do you get to know the Word of God? How do you get to know the Word of God? Well, I want to say, I'll give you the outline on this, basically, ahead of time. There's five things involved in knowing the Word of God. First of all, there's hearing. Second, reading. Third is study. Four is memorize. And five is meditate. Now, I want us to look at how we can walk in the Word of God. We're going to have to know it. And to know it, we're going to have to do some things. First of all, is hearing the Word of God. And we just read in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now the Bible has much to say about hearing the Word. Let's look at Luke 11:28. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the Word of God and keep it. Look at Matthew 13:18. Matthew 13:18. He said, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. And right there on the same page, Matthew chapter 13, verse number 9. Matthew 13:9. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Then let's look at John chapter 10, verse number 3. John chapter 10, verse number 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Then verse number 5 of John 10. John 10:5. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Then John chapter 10, verse number 27. On the same page in my Bible, John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We see there many times already mentioned about the word hear. Then look at Philippians 4:9. Philippians 4:9, Paul writing, he said, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. He said there that you've heard, not only hear, but you need to do. Then James 1:22. James 1:22, He said, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Notice what's common with most of these verses about hearing. He says, hear and keep, hear and follow, hear and do. Now listen, God gave gifts to man, and he gave them to him for three reasons. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11 and 12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now you notice there in verse number 12, he's given the gifts to men for three reasons. One is for perfecting of the saints, two for the work of the ministry, and three for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edify means to build up. Building up the body of Christ. So he gave gifts to men that they may build up the body of Christ. Therefore he calls men and put places in positions and sets aside Sunday school, the preaching hour, Sunday morning and preaching hour Sunday night, Wednesday night services and revivals and other special services that the church calls together so that you may hear the word of God. And Hebrews 10:25, let's look at what that said. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Here we find that God's given a commandment for us to come together. Why? Because, you see, he wants us to hear the word of God. Because we'll never know the word of God if we don't hear the word of God. But it's not enough just to hear it. We must do it, follow it, and keep that word of God. Look at Matthew chapter 13, verse number 19. Matthew 13, 19. Speaking here of the parable of the sower, he says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. So we see it's not enough just to hear the word, because when we hear it, we're going to have to keep it. We're going to have to do it. And that word keep means to guard it. It means to garrison it. It means to keep the devil from stealing that is what it amounts to. Now, you see, to do that, we're going to keep that seed so that we can really learn to walk in the Word and walk by faith and walk in grace, then we're going to have to take notes. We need to take a pen and underline in our Bible as we hear the Word of God and make notes so we can go back and dig a little bit deeper. Some have said that you only get about 2% of what you hear. Imagine that. When you hear something, the average person only gets 2% of what he hears. And the devil knows that. Therefore, he tries to steal that 2% so you have nothing left. That's why many will die and go to hell, because they're not hearing the word of God. But it's not enough just to hear. Look at John 8:31. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. So you see, we must not just stop by hearing. We must continue on by not only hearing, but we need to read the word of God. You know, the king of Israel was required to read in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse number 19. Deuteronomy 17, 19. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. You see, the king was commanded and required to read all the days of his life. If it was valuable for him, it's valuable for us also. Then Paul wrote to Timothy something in 1 Timothy 4:13. 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul said, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. So he warned the young preacher Timothy, give attendance to reading. Then John said something in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 3. Revelations 1:3, he said, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You notice, not only enough to hear, as we studied a moment ago, needed to do and needed to keep. And now we find it's not enough just to read, need to keep or guard or garrison that seed as we come together. If we don't, we'll not be what we need to be. We'll not amount to what God wants us to amount to. We'll never reach where we need to reach for God's glory. Oh, may we ever come to the place that we read the Word of God. But you know, we need a plan to read the Bible. We ought to plan to read it through, and I'd say roughly in a year's time. I don't want it to become legalistic as you read it, but oh, you ought to read the Bible through. And this can be done by reading four chapters a day, and that's leaving off Sundays as a day of worship. But you can take four chapters a day, 6 days a week, and you can read the entire Word of God in a year's time. Did you know it only takes approximately 72 hours to read the entire Bible. 72 hours of reading time. Oh, may the Lord help us to read the Word of God, because it's important. But not just read it, but keep it. Now, you know, we've had good intentions many times, but we fall by the wayside. I mean, we got a battle. The flesh, the world, and the devil will fight you. And then you'll say, I don't have time. But you know what? We better take time, for we're in that battle. And if we lose that battle, and we will lose it if we're not prepared. But did you know a woodsman never loses time by stopping to sharpen his axe? Never loses any time. So when we read the Bible, we must let the Spirit speak to us about our hidden sin or failures in our life. Look at Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12 said, For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You see, we need to take special note when we're reading God's word as he deals with his people. Because, you know, it's very likely if God was displeased with something back when the scripture was written, he feels the same way about it today. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 11. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now this is talking about the Old Testament time, children of Israel, as they were moving through the wilderness area, and he said they're written for our example. So you see, as we see, if God's displeased with them, he feels the same way about the same sin today. Because, you see, God's standards of holiness and righteousness do not change. We need to read the Bible as an individual. But not only alone, we need to read the Bible as a family unit. There need to be family devotions. You know, it's necessary. If we're going to see our children saved and serving God, we're going to have to do more than just carrying them to church 3 times a week. Because 3 hours a week of church is not enough. We need to do more. We need to read the Word of God at home in a family altar. Because the Bible tells us something. Proverbs 22:6. Proverbs 22:6 says, Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. This means we're to teach our children right while they're young, while they're moldable. Oh, you see, the Hebrew women had a saying that basically this scripture is based upon, where they said, Touch the palate of the child when he's young, and he'll like it all the days of his life. And that palate's that part back in the top of the mouth. That individual child, when he's touched with something he likes, he'll start grabbing for it because his palate's been touched. And we need to touch the palate of our children with the Word of God and reading the Word of God in the family devotion and altars. You see, we need to have something to pass on to our children, an inheritance, if you please. I'm not talking about a physical inheritance. I'm talking about a spiritual inheritance. But we spend most of our time, if we spend any, as families, trying to teach them how to make a living. How to get ahead in life. We need to give instruction on how to live and see life from God's point of view. See, if man knows how to live, he'll know how to make a living. But if he knows how to make a living, that's all, he'll not know how to live. So therefore, we need to give them the heritage of faith. This comes by reading the Word of God to them in a family altar. Look at 1 Timothy 5:8. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now, I know we use that, and I believe in context, basically, in one sense of the word, it deals with the physical. Man won't work, he ought not to eat. And a man that won't work and provide for his family is worse than an infidel in the physical. But hey, this has an application spiritually, too. A man that won't provide for his own home, the spiritual things, you see, that gives life. The other just lets you exist throughout day to day, from time to time. But oh, when you give him the main things, it gives them life, eternal life. And if we fail to do that, God said we're worse than an infidel. Oh, we need to have something to pass on our children. Therefore, we need to provide spiritual instruction in the family altar so that those children can hear and that they too can read the Word of God. And as they do that, then we'll find there's reinforcement. Even though, because it's repetition. Some says, well, preacher, I didn't know you're supposed to repeat things. Well, I tell you, the Bible repeats over and over. And look at what Isaiah 28:10 says. Isaiah 28:10 says, For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. There needs to be repetition. At church, at home, they need the same standard wherever they go, hearing and reading the Word of God. But you notice connected with the hearing and the reading is doing. Hear and do. Read and do. Read and follow. Hear and follow. In other words, the reason many are not doing and following the Lord Jesus is because they haven't heard and read. I heard a story about a dad one day. He had something for his son to do, and he wrote instructions out on a piece of paper and left it by his food on the table. And he came home, the job wasn't done, the boy was asleep, the food had been eaten. So he woke up the boy and asked him why he didn't do what he told him to do, and the boy looked at him with wondering eyes and said, "Do what?" You see, he'd eat the food, and there lay the note right beside it, but he didn't read. But he didn't read what the dad had said. Therefore, he didn't do what dad said. How many times we got the Bible laying on the coffee table or on the end table or on the shelf collecting dust, and we don't read it 7 days a week? If we don't read it 7 days a week, we're never going to know what God said. We're never going to be able to walk in the most holy faith like God said. We're not going to be able to walk as we have received Christ. We've received Him by the Word, and we need to walk in the Word. But to do that, we're going to have to hear it, and we're going to have to read it. And then John 8:31, look what it says again. John 8:31, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." If we're going to know God's word so we can build upon the foundation of faith, we must continue by not only hearing and reading, but also by studying the word of God. Look at Acts 20:32. Acts 20:32. "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Look at 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You see, he said we need to study. Not only hear, not only read, but we need to study the word of God. And I want to tell you, study is labor. But he said, "Study to show thyself approved." That means acceptable. You see, we want to hear "well done" one day before the Lord. If we're going to hear "well done" before Him as a good and faithful servant, we're going to have to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Now, not to man. You see, God's the one we should be concerned about. And Paul said something in Galatians 1:10. Galatians 1:10. He said, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Paul said it doesn't matter about man. It's serving God. And the Lord's commanded us to study, to show ourselves approved unto Him. Now, He knows our heart, but oh, we're going to have to do some searching, more than just hearing and reading. We're going to have to search for some things. And King Solomon urged us to search for wisdom as though we were looking for something in Proverbs 2:4. Proverbs 2:4, talking about searching for wisdom, he said, "If thou seekest her, wisdom, as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God." Oh, you see, we need to search with all our hearts. We need to do more than reading, more than hearing. We need to study, and that's going to involve some digging, or in other words, a guarding and keeping that word and putting it together so that we may understand it in bits and pieces until it begins to fit together. And that's going to take some time and some study, and it's going to be wearisome to the body. Oh, God, help us to study. Look what he said in Acts 17:11. Acts 17:11. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica." Now he's talking about the Bereans, and Paul is commending them here, and said they're more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. In other words, they searched daily to see if Paul was telling them the truth. Folks, if you're going to study the Bible and get where God wants you to and walk in the Word, you're going to have to study it. And that's more than reading and more than hearing. So our Bible study, if we're going to study, it must be, first of all, I think, consistent. You ask the question, how we study? Consistently. That means on a regular basis, day in and day out. Then we need to study the Bible in a systematic way. That's having a plan of some kind. Not get bogged down with a plan, but some kind of plan that'll keep you in the book and cause it to have a desire for the Word of God. And you Christians can usually begin with a question and answer type study of the Bible. Now this type of study will get that newborn babe into the Bible. 1 Peter 2:2. 1 Peter 2:2. "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." So you see, there needs to be a habit of being systematic and regular, consistent in Bible study. And that'll teach an individual to meet his own needs through application of the Word of God. It'll teach him to get information from the Bible, and it'll familiarize him with the entire Bible. But for growing disciples, it may need more than an answer and question type study. Best kind of study for growing disciples is a verse by verse and chapter by chapter, or either a topical, such as a topic on the home or a topic on some particular thing that's involved in their lives. And as they begin to do that, searching out the thing, it will cause them to, be down to where they can get something to strengthen them and they can begin to walk in the Word of God. So we need to study the Bible consistently and systematically. And then our Bible study needs to contain original investigations. That means that we need not to depend upon the works of others, but commit ourselves to digging in the Word of God on our own. In other words, we need to study the Bible, not just books about the Bible or reading what someone's written about the Bible alone. Yes, we can use concordances and study helps and even commentaries, but we need to let the Bible say what it says. Some say, well, now you better be careful. You don't have the original. But I want to tell you what, if you're saved, you've got something better than the original. You've got the originator of the Bible, the Holy Ghost, who lives in you. Let's look at John 16:13, see what he says about that. John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. That includes, he's the one who lives inside of you. And therefore, he'll teach you what the Bible says. So our study, Bible study, needs to contain original investigation, but it also needs to include note-taking. You see, he said hear and keep, and he said read and keep, and that word keep means to guard or garrison. So if we take notes, it's a way of keeping the Word of God, the seed, if you please. We need to jot down what we've discovered in our searching. If we don't write it down, we usually only just read the Scripture. If we don't underline it or mark some way, we don't do anything but read. We need to study, and that involves note-taking. Also, the fifth thing about studying the Bible, need to have an application to daily living. See, the most important question in Bible study is, what do you want me to apply to my life, Lord, from this portion? Lord, what do you want to apply to my life? What do you want me to apply to myself, to my own life, from what I'm reading and what I'm studying? Don't need just to know the facts and figures, but the point is to help me do something about my bad attitude or my thought life or my sharp tongue. You see, this is learning how to live and see life from God's point of view, not just how to make a living. It's walking in the Word of God. Look at Lamentations 3:40. Lamentations 3:40, he said, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Look at Psalms 119:59. Psalms 119:59. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Well, you see, when we come to the place to where we have let it apply to us, it'll do something for us. It'll deal with our hearts. It'll cause us to line up with him and return to the Lord. But our Bible study also should be pass-onable. That may not be a good word, but we ought to be able to pass on what God's give us. You see, the benefit of Bible study are not something to keep for ourselves, but use them in our ministries to help others. First of all, it'll purify our lives and make you salty. And that's what the world needs. They need to see Jesus in others. In fact, you're the only Bible some people read. That's why Philippians 1:27 says this. Look at what it says. Philippians 1:27. Philippians 1:27, the first part says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. The word conversation means your manner of living. In other words, the world can't hear what we're saying for seeing what we're doing. And if our lives betray Jesus and the study of the Bible, then it'll purify our lives as we study, and we can be able to pass on to others the gospel of Christ through our daily living. Not only in our daily living by being salty, but we can pass it on in church by preaching. We can pass it on in Sunday school by teaching, or in family devotion by training our children in the way they should go, and to others by lip service as well as by our life. Remember what John 8:31 says. John 8:31 said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. In other words, there's more than just hearing, more than reading, and more than studying the Word of God. We must continue on if we're going to really know the Word of God and add to that foundation of faith and walk in the Word like God wants us to. So what's the next part? The fourth thing that we deal with, not just hearing, reading, and studying, but we say the fourth thing is memorizing the Word. You see, the Scriptures are full of passages that indicate that God wants us to saturate our lives with His Word. Let's look at a few of those. Deuteronomy 6:6. Deuteronomy 6:6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Proverbs 7, 2 and 3. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 2 and 3. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Oh, you see, he talks about the heart. Write them on the table of your heart. Colossians 3:16. Colossians 3:16, the first part, says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Look at it. Dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Psalms 119, verse 11. Psalms 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. You see, through memorizing the scriptures, you're able to grasp 100% of what you're learning because it's in your heart. We said a while ago, you only get 2% of what you hear. The average listener gets only 2%. But you get 100% if you put it in your heart. Now, it's the hardest method of intake, but it pays the greatest dividend spiritually. And the devil's going to fight you because he knows the outcome. You say, what's the outcome? Well, there's going to be victory. You see, you're like a palm tree. Look at Psalm 92:12. Psalm 92:12, it says, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall glow like a cedar in Lebanon. But the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Now, a palm tree is unique compared to trees that we're used to in our country. For example, I know my dad used to, in the peach orchard, he got him a weed eater one day and had some little bitty peach trees. And he went out there with a weed eater and, not used to it, he skint the bark all around that peach tree. And as a result, it cut off the supply line to the leaves and it died. So, in other words, all the others will do that. All the other trees will do that we're familiar with here. But the palm tree's not that way. You can slash it, you can cut around it, and it will not die because life's in the center core. You see, the devil will attack and cut on you and try his best to break you and destroy you. If you have only the hearing and the reading of the word, you could be destroyed like the peach tree. But if you have studied and memorized the word of God, you have inner strength. And as the outside cutting and whacking continues, the scripture continues to flow through the inner core because it's in your heart. It's in your heart. Look at 2 Corinthians 4:16. 2 Corinthians 4:16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So the devil can cut on the outside, but if you have studied and memorized and put the scripture down on the inside, that inward man is renewed day by day. Now I ask you a question. What's the advantages of memorizing the scriptures? What's the advantages? First of all, it increases our faith and our trust in God. Philippians 2:5. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which also was also in Christ Jesus. You see, the memorized word helps us to have the mind of Christ at all times as we walk through life. Thereby it builds our faith in his guidance and his leading. Not only increases our faith and trust in God, but it helps the Christians to grow. Thirdly, it helps us to have a victory over sin. Psalms 119:11, which we read just a moment ago, says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. You see, now fourth thing about memorizing the word, it has a cleansing effect. You know, we can substitute the word for unclean thoughts that come in our mind. The wiles of Satan, as he puts those fiery darts on the inside, we can immediately substitute them with the word of God if we have it memorized. That's when we're on the job or wherever we may be. You see, the first thought's not sin. It's the second thought when we begin to know what we're thinking about. The first look's not sin. It's the second look when we know what we're looking at and looking for. So you see, if we've got memorized scripture, it has a cleansing effect because it keeps us from sin and keeps us clean. It also, fifthly, it increases our knowledge of the word of God. Thereby, it builds us up on the foundation of faith. Six, it is profitable for guidance. Look at Psalm 32, verse number 8. Psalm 32, 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Whoa. You see, the word of God memorized is profitable for guidance. Seventh, it enables us to pray more effectively. John 15:7. John 15:7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and shall be done unto you. So it helps us to pray more effectively. Memorize scripture, number 8, helps us in Bible study. You see, we get some of our cross-references through memorized scriptures easily, and it helps us in Bible study. 9, it helps us worship God in private and public worship by quoting scripture back to the Lord and reminding him of what he said in his word. Not that he needs reminding, but it helps us to worship him and adore him and praise him with scripture. Number 10, it helps us make good use of what might be wasted time. For instance, a grocery line, as you wait, red light as you wait at it, or a waiting room for the doctor. You can sit there and go over scripture, and it helps you make good use of that time. Number 11, it enables us to set an example for others to follow. Look at Philippians 4:9. Philippians 4:9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. It also enables us, number 12, it enables us to witness effectively. 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So we see then, we've just looked at 12 different ways or things that helps or the advantages of memorizing the scripture, 12 of them. We'll be dealing with that along in our lessons. And I pray that they'll be a strength to you. Now, what's a good way to memorize scripture? Now, really, there's no set way. I know one day I told the children in school, as we had a Christian school, they were wanting to know how's the best way to memorize scripture. I said, well, I'm going to tell you how you can memorize it. And it's just real simple, if you'll just listen. And I said, the best way to memorize scripture is to read it and don't forget it. Well, that's true, but that's not easy, is it? So the best way to memorize scripture, or some of the way I find is the best. Now, you may find something easier for you, but you can take a verse and repeat that verse over and over. Like if you're memorizing a section of scripture, repeat that verse until you can say it over. Then repeat the next verse in that whole group until you can say it about 5 times without even looking back at the Bible. Then put 2 together, then 3, and then 4, and begin to group those verses and quote it till it becomes a part of you. And then really to quote it to someone else and have someone to answer to, such as your family devotion or some way, and memorize portions of scripture, because it puts it in your heart. And when it gets on the inside, it'll give you life-giving strength, and that inner man can be renewed day by day. Then remember John 8:31. John 8:31, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. You see, there's more than hearing and reading and studying the word. We need to memorize it. And then we need to come to a place to keep it and do and follow. This will help us to build up on the foundation to walk in the word. You see, the Word of God is bait for faith. And what we need to do is take the bait and hear it and read it and study it and memorize it. But there's a fifth thing we need to do to it if we're really going to get where we need to be, and that is to meditate upon it. We need to meditate upon the Word of God. You see, you think about the hand. Your hand is, as you've got your 10 or your 5 fingers on each hand, but you got your thumb. Think of that as being meditating. Your little finger is being that of hearing, and the ring finger of reading and studying, and on across your finger towards your thumb, and memorizing. And what you need to do, learn, what we need to meditate upon is we need to read and meditate. We need to hear and meditate and read and meditate. And you can put your thumb on each one of those fingers as you do it. And you need to study and meditate. And you need to memorize and meditate. But you see, we're living in a day when meditating is a lost art. And I'm not talking about the meditating like the underworld does, or the devil world, the demon worship and things of that. But we're in too big of a hurry. We're in an active, busy, in a hurry-up-and-go world. And we've lost the art of meditating on the things of God. And so as a result, the devil has slipped us a counterfeit. Our minds have been captured by television and using that as a babysitter and all the video games and first one thing and another. And it's caused our minds to be geared. We can't even think out a figure today with the calculators in the world today. So we've lost the art of meditating. But if we're really going to have what God wants us to and walk in the Word like He wants to, we're going to have to learn to listen, to be still and listen and meditate on the Word of God. Now, to meditate, the Word carries with it an idea of depth. It talks about depth. You know what? We'd rather go out and pick up a few loose nuggets on the hillside than dig for treasure that's hidden in the earth. So it takes time and discipline to meditate and dig for the hidden treasure in the Word of God. But the dividends are worth everything involved in it. Now, what are the dividends for meditating? Let's look at God's Word and see what the dividends are for meditating in the Word of God. First of all, in Joshua 1:8, you'll find if you meditate, you'll enjoy success. Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You see, one of the dividends of meditating is to enjoy success. You see, he said that God requires really of a steward that he be found faithful. Now, this is not the world's standards. It's what he says here. The world's standards may not be world standard of being success, but God requires that a steward that he be found faithful. And look, he said he meditated day and night. Look at Psalm 4:4. Psalm 4:4. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Oh, we need to be still and listen to God as he speaks from memorized scripture and that we've heard, and we begin to meditate upon that in our own heart. Look at Psalm 77:6. Psalm 77:6. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. One of the dividends of meditating is that you will enjoy success. But second dividend of meditating is whatsoever you do will prosper. Look at Psalm 1:1-3. Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You see, it says he's planted by the rivers of water, and the rivers of water underneath takes meditation. Oh, inner core, the heart, and says it's going to bring forth fruit in his season. In other words, when God's timing, fruit will come forth, and said it'll prosper. It may not be money or wealth, but it'll stand in the days when everyone else is throwing in the towel. You'll hear the well done, thou good and faithful servant, and you have crowns to cast back at his feet because he is worthy. Number three, the third dividend of meditating, you'll be wiser than all your enemies. Psalm 119:97-98. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hath made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Then look at Psalm 119:23. Psalm 119:23. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. This is where temperance comes in. That part of building up on the foundation of faith, by faith, of having temperance or self-control. It means while the enemies are speaking against you that you can meditate on the word of God. We're talking about being wiser than all your enemies. Look at James 1:19-20. That's one of the dividends, being wiser than all your enemies. James 1:19-20. James 1:19-20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You see, it's the Lord's battle. We're not fighting for victory, but from victory. May we ever learn that. Meditation will bring a dividend of being wiser than all of our enemies. Psalm 119:78. Psalm 119:78. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Just meditated while the enemy dealt perversely with him. That's what the psalmist did. Then look at Proverbs 26:4. Proverbs 26:4. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Then look at Matthew 7:6. Matthew 7:6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. So you see, we need to be wiser than all of our enemies. And we meditate, we can be that way. And we'll know when not to answer. You see, Jesus at times didn't even answer. Then when he did answer, he had the right answer for them. And that's why we need to learn when to speak. And when to speak, what do we need to do? Proverbs 15:1. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. God help us to be wiser than all of our enemies. And we can if we'll hear and meditate. Read and meditate, and study and meditate, and memorize and meditate on the Word of God. The dividends is that you'll be wiser than all your enemies. Fourthly, you'll be wiser, another dividend, you'll be wiser than all your teachers. Psalm 119:99-100. Psalm 119:99-100. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. Another dividend, number five, you'll be filled with joy. Psalm 63:5-6. Psalm 63:5-6. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Also, number 6, your success will be obvious to all. 1 Timothy 4:15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Psalms 119:15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. So we see then the dividends for meditating. Oh, we need those. The dividends for meditating, what are they? It's first of all, you'll enjoy success. Number 2, whatsoever you do will prosper. Number 3, you'll be wiser than all your enemies. Number 4, you'll be wiser than all your teachers. Number 5, you'll be filled with joy. Number 6, your success will be obvious to all. How does this come? When we are walking in the Word. And to walk in the Word, we must hear, we must read, we must study, we must memorize and meditate. And as we said, use the finger thumb situation with meditation being up on the thumb and point to your little finger. We must meditate in here. Your ring finger, we must meditate and study. Or read. We must meditate and study with the next finger and the last finger and thumb. We must meditate and memorize the Scripture. Then we can walk in the Word and we can begin building up by faith, because our faith is increased to see what God's done. So therefore we're fulfilling thus far what Colossians 2:6 said. As ye have received Christ, so walk ye in Him. And the word walk means there to live, to regulate one's life, to conduct oneself, to order one's behavior. So if we receive Him by grace, we need to walk in grace. And since we receive Him by faith, we need to, through faith, we need to walk in faith. And not only that, but we receive Him by through the Word, we need to walk in the Word. And then, of course, we realize that we receive Him by the Spirit and because of His love. And that's what we want to deal with. Also, that we need to realize that we receive Him by, since we receive Him by the Spirit, we also need to walk in the Spirit. And since we receive Him because of His love, we need to walk in love. And that is the motive for all things. Now, next lesson, we'll deal with about being led of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. Let's look, though, first at Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, as we look at that verse, there's a lot saying there. It's saying to walk in the Spirit, being controlled and motivated by the Spirit of the God, being saturated by His Spirit, having no part of our life that He doesn't control, that He's not leading and He's not guiding in. Now, like I say, next lesson, we're going to deal with that. But then we'll be also walking, learning to walk in love, which is the motive for doing what we do and living like we live. If we can ever reach that apex of building up on that faith of God's agape love, which is also the fruit of the Spirit, which is also walking in love, as you have received Christ, so walk ye in Him. I challenge you, folks, to listen, study God's Word. Oh, walk in grace, walk in faith, walk in His Word, walk in the Spirit, and walk in love. We'll deal more with that next time. Father, I pray that you'll just take charge of these lessons. Let no one quench your Spirit. We love you today. My, you're good to us. And I pray you'll refresh our hearts and encourage us that, Lord, we want to read more and study and memorize and meditate upon the Scripture, that we can be a success and live for you and live in you and walk in love and walk in the Spirit, walk in the Word. Oh, God, thank you that the Word of God's bait for faith, so we walk in faith. And then walk in all the grace of God that you've got for us. My, how enriching and encouraging the Word of God is as we take it into ourselves. May it be strength to our inner being. And as the devil chops and hits and cuts on the outside, may we realize the battle's done been won. The victory is won. We're not fighting for victory, but from victory. All because one day we were saved by the grace of God. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for what you're going to do. Now just take charge. And give insight and understanding to these who are studying these tapes and these lessons. And we'll thank you for what you do and give you glory for it. We ask it in Jesus' name, and for His sake we do pray. Amen.